for most people, the hard part about aging is adjusting to what you can't do, the things that you used to do. And if you get too foolish in thinking you can always do it, I've had some reminders in life. I was playing around with the teenagers one time, and the snow was out there 3 feet deep, and I thought, you know, I started playing around, and I said, yeah. I said, you know, we'll do the... And when we came inside, I was still walking inside like we were walking outside. You know, like this. And all of a sudden, my back went out. It was like... Brother Nash, you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. That was a reminder that I'm not a teenager anymore. So needless to say, we all can have reminders. As you get older, life seems to pick up speed. It doesn't go any faster, but as your responsibilities increase and your relationships deepen, then life appears to pick up speed. To a youngster, it seems like the day is never going to end. But to a 55-year-old, he's racing against the time and losing, and it becomes hard to keep track of the days. The older you get. And I always heard that, but you don't understand that as a teenager. Till you start getting older and seems like life's picking up. To the kids, Christmas and birthdays never get here. But to the adults, we need 6 to 9 months to plan for it, or it gets here before we know it, because time is moving so fast. What age we are in life determines what we're looking forward to. For instance, the baby's always looking forward to the next meal and the next nap. I know some ladies are going, that sounds like my husband. No. The elementary kid is looking forward to junior high. The junior high person is looking forward to senior high. The senior high student is looking forward to college. The college student's looking forward to marriage and life and work. The young married couple wants to get a house and establish equity, and then they want to get settled. Then you look forward to your kids being in school and then going to college and getting engaged, and then you deal with the empty nest, and then it's trips to see the grandkids. So no matter whatever age you're in determines what you're looking forward to in life, wherever you're at. What we are planning on or what we're looking forward to is determined by how old we are and where we're at. There's nothing wrong with any of those things that I just mentioned. Where are we going to live? Marriage. Settling down. Nothing wrong with those things. And that's not an exhaustive list at all, but the older you get, the faster life gets. As we go through life, God wants us to think about something. Now, I'm going to show you something in Scripture. I don't want you depressed about it, but I think the theme of the Scripture is this. God says, in your... Well, when you look at verse number 13 there, it says, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. There's nothing wrong with those things. But in the hustle and bustle of life, God says, I want you to think about something, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor. Do you know what God's illustration of our life is? It's a vapor. It's a vapor. Now, I'll try to draw a picture for you here in a little bit, but remember the tea kettle on the stove and the stuff coming out of the tea kettle? And then it vanishes. It's there, and then it's gone. God's illustration of us and our life here on this earth is a vapor. And God says, I want you thinking about something. I want you thinking about your mortality. Your mortality, you look up the word, Webster says this, the word mortality means subjection to death or the necessity of dying. James here says, what is your life? What is your life? It is even a vapor. It's wonderful to be reminded, and you say, oh, I already know that, but we're not immortal. We're going to die someday. And God says, it doesn't have to depress you, but there are some people who go through life and they never think about it. They never think, my life someday is going to come to an end and there's going to be a casket down front. And my body is going to be there, and if I'm saved, you'll be in heaven looking down. What do you want the pastor to say at your funeral? Well, then live that way. What do you want them to say? I've done many funerals. I love the funerals where the person is saved and they lived a righteous life and they've got testimonies and it's wonderful. There's been other funerals I had to skirt the issue. You can't tell everybody he was on drugs. You can't tell everybody he hung around the wrong crowd. You can't tell everybody, you know, he's on parole and in jail and in and out. You got to be nice, right? Because it's the funeral service. Well, Pastor, could you do it? Yeah, I'll do it. I know how to be appropriate at a funeral, but those are the hard ones to me. Those are the hard ones. Can't really say what was going on, but you got to, you know, the family's needing comforting. You don't want a funeral like that, right? So God says, think about your life. In that scripture, God says, think about it. You're going. We are all going to die someday. When you are there, what do you want the pastor to say at your funeral? They were a giving person. They helped everybody. They were a blessing. There's people in this room at the funeral. I don't know. I love that statement, though. What do you want the pastor to say at your funeral? Then live that way. Then live that way. Then live that way. And it keeps our mortality, God says, I want you to think about it. Sometimes with all of the phases in life, we're in this phase and then we're in that phase. We don't stop and we don't think that we're not immortal. Young people that think they're going to live forever. But older people start bringing it up more frequently as they feel they're running out of time. There's been two people that have stopped in here at the church, and this is what they said, and they were in their 70s, and they haven't come yet, but one time I was in the parking lot, and a big pickup pulled up, and a guy said, I live over here on Mechanicsville Road, and said, I'm getting close to dying, and he says, I need to start going to church. He said, and I said, well, I'm the pastor, we'd love to have you. He said, I'll be there this Sunday. He was thinking about dying. He said, I'm coming to the end of my life. I've been out of church a long time. I want to get in church and I want a good church when I pass. And I haven't seen him yet. And I should have got his address and I didn't. But still, he stopped here, saw me, and talked about his mortality. And God says, I want you thinking about that. It says, you see, in 40 AD, when God used James to pen this, if they were busy, it sounds like they're busy was Their life was busy and fast-paced. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we'll gain into such a city, and we'll go into such a city, continue there a year, and buy and sell and gain, and how can I get this, and swapping this out for that. If it was busy back then how much more so is it busy today? Most people plan out their life and make many decisions and choices on what they're going to do. Their life. But one thing you're supposed to think of, did you look at verse 14? Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. I'm going to pull some truths from this passage that I'd like you to think about. But ye know not what shall be on the morrow. You know what the first lesson we're supposed to think about of our mortality is this. I'm not guaranteed tomorrow. I'd like to think, yeah, I know what's going on tomorrow. My alarm clock goes off at 5:30. I'm down here at the church at 7, and I make the bank deposit tomorrow morning. I won't tell you, okay? I won't announce that. It goes, you know, goes out there. But yeah, I'll make the bank deposit. I got a set time I do that. I got a set time that we'll put them. In other words, I'd like to think, yeah, I got tomorrow planned out, but I'm not guaranteed tomorrow. And I'm not, ye know not what shall be on the morrow. I'm not guaranteed. It's not guaranteed. I may die tonight. Did you know everybody that's passed in their sleep didn't know that that was the night? You say, well, that must be the older person that's 85, 90. Did you know that there's been teenagers, 13 years old, dropped dead before they hit the floor? They were dead with a brain aneurysm. No, this isn't for old people. We have a tendency to think, oh, you're talking to old people. This is for everybody. Everybody. This would affect our decision making, right? Then maybe we wouldn't be so flippant with our time. God says, I want you to think about your mortality. And the name of the sermon this morning is God's Illustration of Our Life. You are not guaranteed tomorrow. Now, none of us know for sure what's going to happen. We think we do. But God says, I want you to think about your life at every age, as a child, as a teenager, as a young person, as a married couple, as a middle-aged, as an older person. Think about your life. Your life. You see, the vapor is here and then it's gone. It appears for a little time. How long does it last? Very short. And then this statement, just listen, if this is God's picture of our life, when it's gone, there is no trace that it was ever there. There's no trace that it was ever there. That God says, think about that. Listen to these verses. Listen to this. Psalm 39, verse 4 says this, Lord, make me to know my end and the measure of my days, what it is that I may know, listen, how frail I am. God, teach me how weak I am. And you know what that does? It affects your decisions. You don't make flippant decisions when you're thinking about your mortality. Well, if I could die, I want to make my life count. I think everybody in here wants their life to count. Well, then don't make stupid decisions that could waste your life. Then don't hang around people that will waste your life. Then don't spend your money or your life on foolishness. Think about that. Think about that. How about this? Psalm 90, verse 12. I'd like you to turn there. We'll come back here to James. This is the one scripture I want you to go to this morning. Look at Psalm 90, right in the middle of your Bible. Psalm 90. Look at verse 12. James isn't the only place in the Word of God where God tells us, I want you to think about mortality. I want you to think about to help you make good decisions. Look at Psalm 90, verse 12. This is a prayer, a good prayer for everybody to pray. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Dear God, teach me. I am not going to live forever. And help me to be wise. Teach me. I only have 70 years on this earth. And if it's more, then it's because of the strength of the Lord, right? That's what the Bible says. 70, 70 years. I want to make sure in eternity, that 70 years is a very small. I have one chance. I want my life to count. So God says, teach me to number my days. God, you know when I'm going to die. And watch this. As a child of God, I'm so glad I'm not scared of death. I don't want the next train out. Amen. You know what I mean? But I'm saved. I trusted Jesus as my Savior. I know I'm His child, and I don't fear death, and I know it's going to happen. So I think this. Teach me, dear God, to number my days so I don't act like a fool. That's what He's saying. So I can apply my heart to wisdom, so I can do things the way You want to. I don't want to waste my life. Your decisions need to be made in the light of the truth that life is short. Short is relative because it's shorter for some than in others. But when you look up the statistics, in a 24-hour period in America, 7,150 people die. Every day, that's just in America. 7,150. Now, out of 330 million that's in America, I don't even think that's less than 1%. Right? That's less than 1% of America dies every day. However, when you can, you cannot live like that percentage will not include you. All 7,150 people that died yesterday were not 85, 95, and 105-year-olds. There were babies, children, teenagers, young people, middle age, older people that died yesterday in that figure, 7,150. This is why God says, I want you to consider your life. What is your life? Not just teenagers. Not just lost people. Go back to James chapter 4. Go back to James chapter 4. This isn't just for lost people. It's a famous text, James chapter 4. What is your life? Isn't it a vapor? I remember when we preach on the streets of Chicago, we'd go up to State and Rush, the busiest intersection in Chicago. Okay, if you've ever been up there. And we'd go up there and all five of us and four would pass out tracts while one would stand up and preach. And great text for lost people. If you're going bar preaching, if you're going in the bar and you get permission, you know, folks, let me have your attention. The Bible says our life is but a vapor. We're here and then we're gone. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Your life is short. Great text for lost people. But was the Bible written to lost people or saved people? Saved people. So God isn't talking to lost people trying to get lost people saved when He says, what is your life? He's talking to us. He's talking to saved people. He says, as a child of God, as someone who's going to live forever in heaven, I want you to think about your life. I want you to think about it. It's not just for teenagers. It's not just for lost people. Watch this. Verse number 15, what is your life? It says this, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. First of all, we're supposed to realize that we have no guarantee for tomorrow. Number two, make your decisions and plans and dreams in the light of the Lord's will. It's amazing how many people never stop and consider it. Live with God's will on your mind. What does God want? What does God wish or will in your plans for every age of your life? Include the Lord's will. A child should be thinking, what does God want? A teenager should be thinking, what does God want? A young adult needs to be thinking, what does God want? In your housing, in your financial preparation, in your career, in your job, where are we going to rear our children? What does God want for my life? What is God's will? And God says, for that you ought to say, He said, instead of not thinking about your mortality, you've got a short life. Now think, what did God save me to do? I love this thought. What did God create me to do? You weren't put here to eat, sleep, and excrete until you finally die. You were put here for a purpose. There is something you're supposed to... You know what the Jews tell their 12-year-old kids? They tell the boys, you got 70 years to do something that'll benefit the generation that's coming after you, and if you don't accomplish it, you're a failure. What are you doing for those that are coming after you? Make your life count. You were made by God to do something. You were created, and I love this, you were saved by God to do something that nobody else could do. You were saved. Why are you here? God's the only one that can answer that question. You don't want to pass through life without giving any thought to the will of God. You don't want to live all your life just thinking it's my dreams, my future, my plans, my will. It ends up never being considered, what did God want? Look, I'm not against planning and preparation. When I made out our church calendar, I know we can't do it all, but as we made the church calendar out and then we passed it out, you know, last month or month and a half ago, I was thinking the whole time, for 2 days I worked on the church calendar, what are we going to do this year? We can only handle so much, but I was praying, Lord, what do you want us to do? What do you want Gospel Light Baptist Church to do this year? Lord, please help us as we line it out. So I'm for planning. I'm for preparation. I'm not for, well, I don't plan nothing. I just take the day as it comes. Okay, probably you're lazy. And if you've never been told that, you need to. You need somebody to lovingly, kindly tell you, you need to get on a stick. I'm not against planning and preparation. I'm saying in your planning and in your preparation, think, what does God want? What does God want? God, what do you want me to do this year? When this year is done, if you haven't come yet, what do you want me to have accomplished? You see, you don't have to fear God's will. God's not going to rip you off. Satan will, but God won't. You don't have to be pessimistic about God's will. You don't have to fear the will of God. Satan always throws arrows of doubt. But listen to what God promised. I'd like you to take your Bible. I want to just show you things. Romans chapter 12. You're in the New Testament there. You're in James. Go back a few books to Romans chapter 12. Look at this. This promise about the will of God. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and verse 2. Romans chapter 12. Watch this. You ought to mark this in your Bible and go back and think about it, but watch this. I beseech you, or beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Romans 12, 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God promises I love this. God promises if you do His will, He'll make your life three things at the end there. Good, acceptable, and perfect if you do His will. Well, I don't want to do God's will. Look, if you're thinking God's going to rip you off, God's going to keep me, but God doesn't keep us from fun. God puts protective lines around us to protect our life, not take our life. God's not ripping. That's the devil's lie. Come tonight and I'm going to show you the Satan's peace in doing wickedness. Satan gives it. He don't want anybody to disturb it. I'm doing all right. Careful. God says here, God says, if you will do my will, God says, I can make your life good and acceptable and perfect in the will of God. Now, no one else can make that promise and keep it. No filthy rock singer, no nasty rapper, no company or business trying to direct your life, magazine that tells you how to dress. It's amazing. All the people are like, well, I don't know anybody at church tell me what to do. But they'll do their hairstyle the way the magazine told them. This is in right now, so you got to do your hair this way. Well, these clothes are in, so you got to wear these clothes now. Who told you that? Some queer in France? Lapels on a man's jacket aren't supposed to be this wide. They're supposed to be this wide. Ties are not this wide. They're supposed to be a little thinner. Who said? Who tells you how to dress? Well, the way you're supposed to wear your hair now is... Who said? I don't let anybody tell me to do, but they'll do what the magazine says. They'll dress the way the rapper dresses. Pull your pants up, amen. I got to tell you again, I love that statement. I got to tell you again, I'm going to use an electric staple gun. We'll see if that'll help you keep your pants up. Okay, all right, here we go. That was not in the outline. That was free. That was to help you wake up. Okay, ready? Here we go. The word good here, the word good, God, that God promises is beneficial. When you do the will of God, it benefits you and everyone around you. Look, the best thing I can do for Gospel Light Baptist Church as the pastor is to be right in the middle of God's will. It benefits me, my family, and the people of Gospel Light Baptist Church. Just like when a daddy says, this is the job, this is the place, this is where we're living. When he says, I want God's will, it benefits his wife, it benefits his kids. God says, I'll make your life, if you'll put my will first, I can make your life good or beneficial to you and those around you. God's the only one that can make that promise and fulfill it. Your kids benefit. The word acceptable there, God says, if you'll put my will first, I can make your life acceptable. That word acceptable, when you look it up, it means it's pleasing. It's a fit. It won't be like trying to force a square peg into a round hole to where you beat the edges off of it. I love our church. I want to be here. You say, where do you want to go, Pastor? I don't want to go anywhere. I want to die here. I have no aspirations to go. Well, maybe one day. I don't have that. I love our church. I love here. I love being here. Someone said, Brother Nash, I'd like to go to Israel with you. And now that I think about it, I'd love to go to Israel with me too. That was a joke. That may or may not happen. You know my view about going to Israel one day? If it doesn't happen before I die, it's going to happen in the millennium. I'll get to go anywhere I want. Amen? And I'm not real tickled to go over there right now with all the Islam stuff anyways. I'd be real careful if somebody said, hey, bought you two tickets to Israel. I'd look at their face. Is it, bought you two tickets to Israel? You know. Well, voice tone is everything in one of those things, all right? God's will is five things. I love this. God's will is five things. You ready? Praying, reading your Bible, going to church, soul winning, telling others about the Lord, and tithing. That's God's will. That's what God says. There's a lot of Bible verses behind what I just told you. I don't think anybody in here would argue with that. But God's will for your life is this, that you pray and talk to the Lord, that you read your Bible. God's will. You know what's wonderful about being here this morning? As you sit there, you can say this, I don't wonder if I'm in God's will this morning. I know this morning I'm right where God wants me. There is no better place I could be than where I'm at this morning. Isn't that wonderful? God's will is prayer, Bible reading, going to church, telling others about the Lord, soul winning, and tithing. It's that simple. It's that simple. Now, there's other decisions that we make that are not in the Bible. When we pray about a spouse, when we pray about a job, God, I've got two job offers. What job do you want me to do? But you pray about it. Lord, show me which one you want to work at. Money isn't supposed to make decisions. I was offered a job as a welder at Thrall Car in Chicago, making double what I was making then. Somebody said, well, time's money. Better take the job that's offering you the most money. I'm so glad I didn't. I went to my pastor. I said, Pastor, do you think I should? He said, I don't know why. He said, I just don't think you should. Don't do it. Don't take the extra money. Sure enough, 2 months later, they laid everybody off at the plant. I would have laid down my one job, taken it up, got, no, money's not supposed to make my decisions. I was really, Lord, what do you want? What do you want for my life? Is that where you want me to work? Because there is a place that God wants you to work, right? God says, I'll make your life acceptable if you put my will first. God says, I'll make it good, beneficial, acceptable, which means pleasing. It'll fit. It just fits for the child of God to do those things. There's a lot of people going through life, earning a living, but life just doesn't fit. They're not comfortable. They're uneasy. They're always on edge. It's always, well, I'm looking for something new. Are you doing what God wants you to do? Does God's will ever play anything in your decision making? How come you're so uneasy all the time? Well, might be moving next week. Are you glad with your job? Well, I don't know. I may have another job next month. Look, I want you settled. I want you pleased. I want you to feel like, I don't want you uneasy and uncomfortable all the time and feeling like you're a square peg that's been beaten to a round hole. My question to you is this. If I love you, I'll tell you this. Are you doing God's will? God doesn't want you that way. God says, I can make your life beneficial and I can make your life pleasing and so it fits. They were going along. There are some people, they're uncomfortable. They were going along in life and they made a decision without God. They didn't consider God's will. They're making it and everything, but life just doesn't seem to fit. The last word there is perfect. Perfect. God says good, acceptable, and perfect. He can make your life with the will of God. That word perfect, it means it satisfies. Please notice in this passage, if you do the will of God, there is no mention of riches, wealth, position, popularity, or being famous in the will of God. Do you know why? Because none of those things can bring you a full, satisfying life. I don't like American Idol. I don't like America's Got Talent. Because I've seen talent bugs. They go up, and then they come down. And nothing's based on character. Nothing's based on your ability to make yourself do right when it's right to do. It's all about, oh, you're gifted, you're talented. Look, use your talents for the Lord, I'm glad. But talent doesn't make your life. Talent doesn't keep you married. Character keeps you married. Amen. No thought. You see, there's nothing wrong to planning and dreaming for the future. But I don't want you to come to the end of your life and have never given no thought to the will of God. Seeing years go by and never thinking, did I ever live in God's will? Did I do what God wanted me to do? Was I where God wanted me to be? Or did I pursue things that I thought were fitting, satisfying, and pleasing only to find out that they weren't good? Child of God, this morning in James, God admonishes us in the Bible, and he says, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. God's illustration is a vapor. We have no guarantee for tomorrow. Consider your life and think about how short it is. And then since you don't know how long you have left to seek to live in the will of God today, plan and prepare your future in the light of God's will, if the Lord will. Pastor Nash, what do you think about your future? I don't want to go anywhere. I'm always looking to God, saying, God, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? Men hate it when their wives are late. And ladies, I don't think it's because we're control freaks. But I get scared when my wife's late. Because I've dealt with car accidents. And every time she's late, it's not, well, I found this deal and this bargain, and well, man, I'm glad. Because every time it goes like one time, you know, and it's not because I'm scared of taking care of the kids either. Amen. But I remember one time my wife was 3 hours late, and I was just, oh, it's going to happen. Going to happen. Sir, please come down to the morgue and identify the body. You know, I've got all this stuff going through my head. Then she finally pulls in the driveway. You say, you shouldn't be so negative and such a pessimist. I know. But I'm not above that. I'm not above disaster and disappointment. And I don't deserve a life that's free from hassle. Amen. I realize it could happen to me. But I'm always asking, Lord, what do you want? There are several things that I would never have chosen about my life, but God showed me it was His destiny for me. The children's tapes that God's let me make, they've gone all over the world. I'll never forget when I made the first children's tape, my wife and I were listening to it in the car. My wife said, "Hun, you need to do those professionally." Well, that's a lot of money. That's $5,000 every CD. And I was like, really? Do the children's songs professionally? I went to a cheap recording studio and we did it for about $100. And my wife said, "Hun, you need to do those professionally for children." And then come to find out, I'll never forget. A lady came up, she brought her little girl and she was 7. She said, "This is my little girl." She said, last 3 months ago she had surgery and she can see now, and it was a problem that's fixed with her eyes, but ever since she was born she's heard you. And I just wanted her to meet the man that's been singing to her whole life. There's some things that I would not have chosen for my life, but as God has directed, I found out that's one, not the only thing, but one of the things God made me for. And God can do the same in your life also. God has a will for every person in here. If you want a good and acceptable and perfect life, then seek God's will. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Psalm 143 verse 10 says, "Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness." Above all, don't miss, and I'm all done, so listen, don't miss God's eternal will. You see, you can have a second chance on God's will down here on this earth and make it, because we have a wonderful God of the second and third chance. But you miss God's eternal will, it's over. It's over. You see, the Bible says in Matthew 7, I want to end on this note this morning, "Many will say to me in that day," many, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" Many on judgment day are going to be saying, "Dear God, I thought, I've served the Lord, I went to church, I read my Bible. They cast out devils, they preached, prophesied in thy name, and did many wonderful works. I fed the people in my neighborhood, I clothed them, God, I thought. And then will I say unto them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you." Many, many are going to say that. I'll say it again, you can miss God's perfect will down here and get a second chance and a third, because that's the type of God we serve. You miss God's eternal will for your life and die and go to hell, you don't get a second chance. It's over. If you miss His eternal will for your destiny, there is no fixing it. You say, "What is His eternal will for my destiny?" John 6:40 says, "This is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day." That's God's will for your life, is that if you're not saved, that you get saved. Aren't you glad? Whosoever means me. God loves you as much as He loves me. Jesus died for you just as much as He died for me. I'll end with this. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish." I just love that. I love to look at somebody and say, if you go to hell, you'll be an intruder. Isn't that a wonderful statement? God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. And if you die and go there because you rejected Jesus, you'll be an intruder and you will not be welcome there. And it wasn't God's will, it was your will that you went to hell. Don't you die and go to hell. I love that statement. I love telling, in a loving way, I love telling people that. He died, He was buried, and He rose again so that you could be saved. His will for you to live with Him is for you to live with Him forever and ever in eternity. The question this morning, James chapter 4, the end of the chapter, God says, I want you to think about something. I want you to think about your mortality. And then I want you to make your decisions based on my will, since you really don't know how long you have. I don't live for today, but I want to do today what God saved me to do. Amen? Amen. Make our decisions. The Bible's supposed to help us with our thinking. And we're supposed to think scripturally. I hope the sermon's a help to you. Let's pray. Father, please, use the truth. Your illustration of our life is a vapor. It's here, and then it vanishes with no trace that it was ever here. Help us, please, to make our decisions based on Your will and what You saved us for and what You created us for. I just need to ask the question, are you sure that your eternal destiny is settled?